The Lord is saying this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I save to the uttermost. There are some of you who have said in your heart, how can God forgive this? Oh, but the power of the blood. Where your sin is abounded, my grace is much, much more abounded. Grace flows. Love flows. Every good and perfect gift comes down. And it comes down to you. It comes down to you because of Jesus. He died for everything, including all your stuff. There is nothing you are living on top of now that the blood did not cover. Receive it. Receive the cleansing. Receive the refreshing. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. There is no barrier. There is no limit. There is no point that I can't restore you. I love you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good morning, welcome. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12. And the Scripture says this, it says, Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, now that great a cloud of witnesses he's talking about are the men and women of faith of Hebrews chapter 11 who did great exploits for God. So he's kind of bringing that thought into Hebrews chapter 12, he says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amplified says, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. New Living, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I was just thinking it was interesting, just kind of the early theme as far as the word and being free and, you know, walking free from a sin consciousness by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of the times we get there because of stuff like this. And, you know, it's interesting how the Hebrew writer simply says, to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares, readily, cleverly clings, so easily trips us up. In other words, there's different kinds of sins. And you know, you might hear about somebody who fell into a certain kind of a sin and you go, wow, I've just never had a problem with that. But there again, you're dealing with things that maybe they never had a problem with. The point is, there are sins that so easily beset you. There are things that are more cleverly cling to you, entangle you, draw you in than other things. You know, like I've said before, I've never done drugs before. So you could put a big thing of drugs right here and it would have no pull on me. I've got no history there, you know? Whereas somebody else, based on your history, that could be like a real temptation or a pull. So we have our histories. We have our backgrounds. We have things that we've come out from, which may determine what easily ensnares you or another person. But it's important to understand here, the Scripture recognizes that there are things that easily ensnare us. There are things that we tend to fall into over and over and over again. And that's what we really want to look at this morning, those things. We're not going to run away from those things. We're going to look at those things and look at how we can defeat and overcome those things. When we're talking about the weight and sin that so easily besets you, when you think of that, it's, you almost kind of think like, oh, that's like my kryptonite. That's the thing that just, the thing that is harder for me to overcome and has been harder for me to overcome through the years. Or you could put it like this, that's my Goliath, all right? That's the big thing in my life. If I just didn't have that thing, oh man, I would be a giant for Jesus if I didn't have that one thing. And so this morning we're going to talk about, and simply the title of the message is Facing Goliath, all right? We're going to face some of these things. It's a decision to face some things. You know, the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle. You can choose to wrestle or you can choose not to wrestle. You know, I've wrestled for years in junior high and high school, and wrestling is work. It's an effort. You know, wrestling requires resistance. You can resist the devil or you can choose to yield. It's less work to just yield and go and be ensnared. And the thing about Goliaths and the fact that they easily ensnare us, they can get into our head and they can get into our identity, and we can think in our mind, well, this is just who I am, and this is one of the things that I'm just going to have to live with for the rest of my Christian life. No. You can face anything. You can face anything. You can overcome anything. There is nothing that God has ordained to have mastery and slavery over you, for you to be a slave underneath. It's not ordained by God. These things can be laid aside. These weights can come off. Your feet can experience a freedom of movement in this race that is set before you. In full expression of what God has called you to do. You don't have to have the ankle weight of that sin that so easily and seriously. It can be laid aside. It can be faced. Okay? And I want to encourage you this morning. This is the kind of stuff that after you've laid it aside a few times, you kind of get an attitude and almost give it a pass. I remember seeing a funny little cartoon once that said, it's like the story of the prodigal. And you got the son coming back to the father, and the father's saying, son, this is the seventh fattest calf we've killed this week. You know? And that's kind of the way you can kind of get. It's like you almost wear your repenter out. It's like, oh, brother, come on. And so you just almost unknowingly, you just kind of give some things a pass, and then I was kind of cope with that one. But I just felt stirred in my spirit that there's some things, and again, I'm not preaching any specific do's and don'ts. This is, like I said, there's two sermons you hear on a Sunday morning, the one I'm preaching to you and the one the Holy Spirit's preaching to you. So don't blame me for what the Holy Spirit's preaching to you. All right? But as the Holy Spirit's preaching to you and dealing with you about stuff, just realize, hey, this thing is beatable. This thing is overcomable. This isn't something that I have to be pushed around with and manhandled in my thought life for the rest of my life. No, Jesus paid too great of a price. He did spoil powers and principalities and made a show of them openly. So I can have freedom over that thing too. Okay? So facing Goliath, there's some things that we know about Goliath, whatever your Goliath is, whatever my Goliath is, whatever things that you're dealing with, Goliath is common, all right? He may be big. He may be in your head and have been in your head for years, but one thing we know about him is he is common. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. They're no different from what others experience. The New King James says they're common to man. That's the thing that we've got to realize. There's nothing you're going through, whatever that Goliath is, that hasn't been pushing people around for years, thousands of years. It's common. And what we're going to do this morning as we're talking about facing Goliaths is we're going to look at the story. And as we look at the story, I think we'll see some real parallels to what we deal with as far as overcoming that weight and that sin that so easily besets us, okay? And so we'll just kind of walk through some different, kind of the chronology of the story and just talk about how we can face our Goliath. So here's the story. Of course, we know the story is David and Goliath, and we're just going to, this is the Living Bible, if you're wondering. And so this it's a paraphrase, but it's a really great kind of a story capturing of this event. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Philistines now mustered their army for battle, encamped between Sico and in Judah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Saul countered and built up of forces at Elah Valley. So the Philistines and Israelis faced each other on opposite hills in the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, a 200-pound coat of mail, bronze leggings, and carried a bronze javelin several inches thick, tipped with a 25-pound iron. Wow, quite a tip. A spearhead. And his armor-bearer walked ahead of him with a huge shield. He stood and shouted across to the Israelis, "Do you need a whole army to settle this? I will represent the Philistines, and you choose someone to represent you, and we will settle this in a single combat. If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, then you must be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight with me." Then Saul, the Israeli army, when Saul and the Israeli army heard this, they were dismayed and frightened. David, the son of aging Jesse, a member of the tribe of Judah who lived in Bethlehem, had 7 older brothers. The 3 eldest, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, had already volunteered for Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son and was on Saul's staff on a part-time basis. He went back and forth to Bethlehem to help his father with the sheep. For 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, the Philistine giant strutted before the armies of Israel. One day, Jesse said to David, "Take this bushel of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers. Give this cheese to their captain and see how the boys are getting along, and bring us back a letter from them." So David left the sheep with another shepherd, took off early the next morning with the gifts. He arrived at the outskirts of the camp just as the Israeli army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israeli and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his luggage with a baggage officer and hurried out to the ranks to find his brothers. As he was talking to them, he saw Goliath the giant step out from the Philistine troops and shout his challenge to the army of Israel. As soon as they saw him, the Israeli army began to run away in fright. So what we see here, we see a picture of Goliath, and we see a picture of Goliath doing what Goliaths do. They intimidate. They strut. They speak. They tell you how big they are and how little you are. And a lot of what goes on in what you might call your Goliath or that thing or overcoming that thing, it's really more than the power of that thing. When we're talking about Goliath, let's be a little more specific. Goliaths can be a variety of things. They can certainly be works of the flesh. They could be addictions that you're dealing with. They could be fear, a spirit of fear that just continues to come on you. And you just seem to have a hard time getting out from underneath that thing or that possibility of what could go wrong. It could be bitterness. It could be, you know, which is really another work of the flesh, an outburst of wrath, different things like that. Those are different things, strongholds, corrupt communication, things that we talk about and just, you know, engaging in different things like that. There's a lot of different avenues, and it's like that thing that zaps you, and it just seems larger than life. It just seems unbeatable. And that thing, whatever it is, again, it's going to speak to you. It'll speak and roar and strut, and that's kind of what the scripture says. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's, you know, Peter. So we, in the New Testament, as Christians, we hear those voices speak to you. And it said, night and day. It'll speak to you when you get up in the morning. It'll speak to you when you go to bed at night. Strongholds, Goliaths, things are that way. And they try to get into your head, and they try to steal your identity and hope to make you come to a conclusion that you've got to put up with this. You know what this is? It's really a trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. It's a trial of what you believe about God. Because ultimately, whatever it is, whatever that Goliath is, and I just kind of like to almost think, you know, Goliath is almost like a, you know, whatever that Goliath is, whatever we deal with, it's very similar. You know, whether it's a physical addiction, whether it's a spirit of fear, whether it's a bitterness thing, whether it's a communication thing, whatever it is, it will control you. It has a controlling effect. And I almost kind of like to put it this way. It's almost like Goliath is a machine. And this machine will run on all kind of fuel. And we look at this, whatever that sin that so easily besets you is that fuels this machine. And we think, if I could just get free from that fuel. And God says, no, I want you free from the machine. Because, you know, you can switch out one fuel for another and be free from the fuel. But God wants you to not have the weight and sin encumber your race. At the end of the day, it's just a distraction to your life spiritually. What is it, though? It's common to man. So whatever it is, millions and millions of people are going through the same thing. And millions of people have been set free from that same thing, too. So, facing Goliath. Number one, just realize, first things first, it's common to man. But here's the greater truth that we got to realize. Our weapons are not common. All right? And this is what we find out, too, in the story of David and Goliath. We find, let's see here, 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments into every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Praise God. Goliath is common, but our weapons are not common. Let's kind of see that in the story as well, too. 1 Samuel 17, and this is David saying, have you seen the giant, or have you seen the giant the soldiers were asking? He has insulted the entire army of Israel. And have you heard about the huge reward the king has offered to anyone who kills him? And the king will give him one of his daughters for a wife, and his whole family will be exempted from paying taxes. David talked to some others standing there to verify the report. What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his insults to Israel? He asked them. Who is this heathen Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And he received the same reply as before. Same benefits. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking like that, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. What about the sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know what a cocky brat you are. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now, David replied. I was only asking a question. And he walked over to some soldiers and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. When it was finally realized what David meant, someone told King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about a thing, David told him. I'll take care of this Philistine. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. How can a kid like you fight a man like him? You're only a boy, and he's been in the army since he was a boy. But David persisted. When I am taking care of my father's sheep, he said, and a lion or a bear comes and grabs a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and take the lamb from its mouth. If it turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this heathen Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who saved me from the jaws, from the claws and teeth of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. What do we hear? We hear faith talking, don't we, in David? And we hear faith getting persecuted as well, too. I mean, when somebody's used to putting up with it, and somebody else comes along and says, I can overcome that, that can either be a note of, wow, praise God, or it can be, brother, here we go. You're one of those, David, huh? Thank God David was one of those. David knew something. What did David know? He knew something. He knew that God helped him. When he's taking care of his father's sheep, a lion or a bear comes and grabs the lamb from the flock. I go after it with a club, take the lamb from its mouth, and if it turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. That's quite a deal. In other words, he fought some lions and bears before he ever got to Goliath. That showed him that the power of God is sufficient for whatever it is. You see, when David was fighting those lions and bears, it's still a miraculous event for somebody. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. I don't care how good of a shepherd you are. Go after a lion, take the lamb out of its mouth, and then club it to death. This is supernatural stuff. All right, it's not Goliath here with all of his armor and spear, but he's doing supernatural stuff. And he realizes, I mean, David realizes that there was something beyond his own natural shepherding ability that gave him the ability to do that. He experienced something supernatural, uncommon, that could take care of that. Now, we know in the scripture, as far as believers, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's another amplified version of Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got that strength. I've got something supernatural. I got something uncommon that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that. And here's the cool thing about us. If you've been walking with God for any amount of time, you've fought some lions and bears too. You've experienced the supernatural power of God. It may not be that Goliath that just seems unbeatable to you right now, but you've experienced that power on other levels. You've had some other victories. And David had a revelation about that power that he experienced on the lion and bear level. He realized it's God. It's supernatural, whether it's a lion or whether it's bear or it's Goliath. You know, if you're the captain of an army, all right, today, and I'm just kind of making, you know, this up hypothetical, but you're the captain of an army, and you're going out against another army, and they've got, you know, guns and spears and bows, and you've got a nuclear bomb, you know, whether it's you versus one of them or 10,000 of them, it's an unfair fight. They can't beat you. I mean, as far as power and might goes. And so it's not like, oh, lion, bear, oh, Goliath. See, David had the math right. He realized there's something bigger than me that's beating this. And sometimes you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to say, hey, why so downcast, oh, my soul? Put your hope in God. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's done. I've fought some lions. I've fought some bears. I've overcome some things. I've had some freedoms. I've experienced the power of God. I've experienced the anointing of God. I know what it's like to live free from this thing. I know what it's like to live above the power of this thing. This thing is no different. This thing is no different. I love, here's a few other scriptures along these lines. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he was in you is greater than he was in the world. Can bring it back down to home to us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. What is that weight and sin? What is that Goliath? We have the greater one in us. Here's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, sometimes people will read that verse like this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that used to work in us 2,000 years ago before the last apostle died. You know that power still works in you today? And he can still do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, which includes that Goliath. There was something that David got by revelation, beating the lion and the bear, that prepared him for Goliath. And there are things that God shows us in the lions and the bears. And sometimes we got to go back and say, hey, I've had freedom. I've had victory. I've been here before. Because, you know, sometimes the places that you want to get to are places you've already been. You've walked in it. You're just getting back there again. You can get back there again. You can get free. You can be totally set free. Like we said, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm dealing with things, but I'm so glad for my Christian faith. You know, it's kind of a coping mechanism. Our Christian faith is not a coping mechanism for the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. As we look at the scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men, to knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons are not coping mechanisms. They're there to demolish strongholds. Praise God. To have hope and to see that thing gone in Jesus' name. To take a stand with the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are powerful. God has equipped us to be free. There's nothing I gotta have to tolerate and different things like that. Now, I'll say this too, though. There's different levels of revelation that we get regarding some of these weapons. You know, if you kind of think of some of these things, you know, if you kind of think of a scale of maybe just coming into something versus really getting a revelation of something, you know, you find that you grow in stuff. You know, and sometimes you can kind of tell even by the way people will talk about it. You know, somebody who's more on this side, they might say something like, you know, and, you know, about the power of prayer. Say, well, and prayer is important too. Somebody over here is going to be like, prayer is everything. We got to pray. Both have the same weapon. But you're going to learn and you're going to grow in some of these weapons. Same with the Word of God. And it should line up with Scripture. But my goodness, man won't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And these things are real. And these are things that you stir up in too. You get stirred up in. God's weapons are not common. And let me say it this way too. You can get really, really strong in these weapons. And how do you do that? It's when you just by faith begin to pull out that Word of God and you begin to just meditate on that Scripture. You meditate on the Word. And as you do, it will begin to strengthen your spirit. You'll get revelation and you'll begin to see things. Like we said before, you know, we need to know in the Ephesians chapter 1, he said, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know the exceeding greatness of your power that works toward us as a believer. These are things that you are going to grow in. But here's the deal. Whatever that weight and sin is, it's that Goliath, it's versus the greater one who's in you. It's versus the exceeding greatness of his power that is working in you. He can do exceedingly above all that you can ask or think. And as we look at it, I just want to encourage you that you have cause, you have reason to hope. Well, let's continue on with the rest of the story here. Unleash your weapons. This is kind of what I want to get to. So, 1 Samuel 17, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can hardly move, he exclaimed, and took them off again. Then he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag, and armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, started across to Goliath. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this nice little red-cheeked boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David shouted in reply, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven and of Israel, the very God whom you've defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you. I will kill you. I'll cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fulfill his plans. He works without regard to human means. He will give you to us." As Goliath approached, David ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag, took out a stone, hurled it from his sling, and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and the man fell on his face to the ground. So David conquered the Philistine giant with a sling and a stone. Since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath from its sheath and killed him with it, then cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Then the Israelis gave a great shout of triumph, rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and the wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road to Shearim. Then the Israeli army returned and plundered the deserted Philistine camp. Praise God. You'll notice something here pretty profound, what David says here. In 46, he said, "Today the Lord will conquer you, I'll kill you, cut your head off, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that there's a God in Israel, and Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fulfill his plans." Israel will learn. The world's going to see something, learn something, and Israel's going to learn something. They're both going to learn something today. That's pretty powerful. It's almost like, it's one thing to talk about the world. It's another thing to talk to the church. It's almost like he's saying the world and the church here. He's saying the church is going to learn something. That God doesn't save by the natural carnal weapons. But there is something. There is a power that God has. I mean, ultimately, when you look back at those armies and they were shivering and they were cowering back, they were in unbelief. They didn't believe that God had the power to save them and to deliver them. David, on the other hand, he knew again because, and this is what the scriptures tells us, it says, a spiritual man, a spiritual woman compares spiritual with spiritual. It's what they do. You experience something that's real and you compare it to something over here. That's what David was doing. Fought the lion and the bear, Goliath is going down. He saw it. He knew it. And the cool thing of it is, when you look at the way David speaks, you know, he said, he said, "Today the Lord will conquer you. I will kill you. I will cut off your head." He wasn't hoping this was going to work. He knew it. Now, is this a cocky, bratty, arrogant person? Or is this somebody who's genuinely, sincerely in faith? Boy, it can look the same, can it? You can maybe hold back from getting in faith for fear of looking that way. But here's the deal. David had a revelation of it. He saw it. Lion, bear, Goliath. God wants to give us a revelation. He wants you to see it. Not just me or preacher preaching it on a Sunday morning. He wants to give you that spirit of wisdom, that same spirit of wisdom and revelation, and to realize this thing can go down too. You can cut off its head and have victory over it. But you'll notice what David did. Most of the time when Goliath is speaking night and day, they were cowering back. But you see, the thing about David was, even as he yelled and cursed, you know, David and his God, he just says, "You come at me with sword and spear. I come at you in the name of the Lord of the armies of heaven, of Israel, of the very God whom you've defiled." You know, it's intimidating, even when the world blasphemes our God and things that we call sacred. And you can almost see him use them satirically and mockingly. And that's been amped up in the world that we live in. It can have a spiritual effect. But David wasn't even moved. "I'm coming at you. Yes, I'm coming at you in the name of the one you just blasphemed. I'm coming at you in his name." There's no political posturing or He knew his God. What was the key to him overcoming? He knew his God. He knew his promise. He knew his word. He believed his God. In the same way he helped him overcome this, and this could overcome that too. He believed it. He knew it. When we look in the New Testament, as far as some things of these weapons that we have, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other so that you can't do the things that you wish. You can deliberately walk in the Spirit on purpose. What does that mean, walk in the Spirit? I know that's kind of a high level. Let's bring that down to real life. You begin to, on purpose, engage yourself in spiritual things, whether it's praying in the Spirit, spending time in the Word of God, getting around things that are going to create an awareness of God and spiritual things. You see, the Bible says there's a sowing to the Spirit. You know, when you invest in something, by faith, believing that you're going to get a return on it. That's a big part of faith. You're investing by faith in the Word, in prayer. It's not just the preacher saying, you need to bring your Bible the Word. You're seeing that, no, I'm spiritually sowing to the Spirit. And you reap of the Spirit life. You reap revelation. You reap strength. Spiritual things become real to you. That's sowing. If you're wanting some kind of a glamorous, gooey, ooey, no, David was on the backside of the desert. Nobody saw him do what he did to the lion. Nobody saw him do what he did to the bear. There was no background music. There's no applause. There's nothing going on. It's just him and God. Very undramatic as far as approval and feeling good and pats on the back. This is backside of the desert stuff. And you on the backside of your, but in your little shepherd field, your little pasture. You in your little pasture, where you're lying down in those green pastures and looking out across the still waters, having your secret place time with God. That's where things are being done. And what did Jesus say? He said, when you come in that secret place, he said, I will reward you openly. David was rewarded openly, but the secret place pasture time came first. We're talking about your Goliaths this morning. There is going to be a deliberate sowing to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, surrounding yourself with spiritual things that will cause a reaping of the Spirit, a reaping of strength and an awareness that will give you strength. I'll tell you what, it just changes. You know you. You know when you've been strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What happens to your fleshly appetites? They grow strangely dim. Because you're so consumed in God, and he's so real, it takes an effort to have to yield to him again. Because God's so real, and spiritual things are so real. That's a place you can on purpose go to. You don't have to wait for deliverance from somebody to come through town. You can on purpose get after sowing to the Spirit and getting built up in spiritual things. And it's like anything else. It'll grow. Your appetite will get stronger. Proverbs says, when wisdom is knowledge, when wisdom and discretion is pleasant to your soul, when wisdom and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. I've had a time when wisdom isn't pleasant to my soul. Saying, oh, wisdom. There's other times when it's pleasant to my soul and it preserves me. You don't get there overnight. You start sowing to the Spirit. It will get pleasant to your soul. But don't be intimidated because you get in the Word and, you know, you're struggling a little bit. Man, there's a sowing to the Spirit. We're talking about pasture stuff that nobody sees that will cause you to overcome Goliaths in your life. Also, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. These are weapons, unleashing. And this was the point. It's unleash your weapons. It's one thing to have weapons. It's another thing to unleash them. You know, David didn't just have good theology. He unleashed what he knew. Theology is good. It's important. It's important to understand these things that we have, but to really have it, but not to unleash it, it's kind of like having bullets in a gun, but never shooting the gun, okay? There's a time when you're going to have to sling the stone. You're going to have to let it go, letting your faith go. and stepping out and beginning to talk back to that Goliath. Here's prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so here's another powerful weapon. It is really that weapon of prayer, where I'm anxious, I don't know what to do, but the one thing that I know that I can do is I can just let that request be made known unto God. I can just say, here it is, Lord, I'm casting my care of this thing over on you. And there's a peace that passes my understanding that keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is the inflection point of a lot of addiction right here. When you're anxious, you can reach for something else to try to calm the anxiety and give you a false sense of peace. But you have a weapon of your warfare where you can go before God and air it out. Again, pasture time. There's no applause, no standing, there's no fanfare. But in the secret place of your heart, air it out to God and get the same peaceful satisfaction in settling down without a substance or without something, an addiction. God has that answer. He has weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, they're not carnal. So when I stand up here and say this and you listen with natural ears, it's kind of stupid. You can't hear this with natural ears. It's not carnal. It's not natural. It's supernatural. There is something in you, in your spirit, that's saying, yes, yes, that's right. That's right. There is a place in prayer where I can get free from that thing. Where there was anxiety, there's now peace. Praise God. What did I do between verse 6 and 7? I just aired it out. There was no feat that I did in the natural. It was just an expression of my heart to God, and He did it. He gave me a supernatural peace that passes my understanding. So when that thing intimidates you, you're in a place of peace. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Colossians, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here's the other powerful reality truth of the weapon of your warfare is the fact that you are dead already. You died. You're alive in Christ. In other words, you're a new creation. The old passed away. All has become new. The real new you on the inside, the new creation that you really are, has no addictions, has no grudges, has the love of God shed abroad in their heart. And it's just wanting to be unleashed who you are. When you leave your body and go to heaven, new creation. This is the big thing, identification. That Goliath is so big, da-da-da-da-da. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind and say, no, this is who I am on the inside. You know, I've had a problem with this or I've had a problem with that, but who I am has no addictions, has no grudges. This is the new creation. All has become new. What are you doing? You're taking your place to who you are. You're seeing yourself for who you are. And again, these aren't just happy thoughts. These are not just emotional inspiration. Jesus didn't say, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you feel really good. He said the truth will make you free. And there comes a point in time when your life, when you believe that about you, even if everybody else doesn't, you believe it. There was nobody in that army that believed it, just David. But he knew. He knew the word of the Lord. He knew the power of the name of his Lord. And what am I saying? To stand out and come down from, you know, to get these Goliaths to come down, you're going to have some stance of faith that you know you're going to drive a stake in the ground and say, yes, I am a new creation. Praise God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to do that. I don't have to yield to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Peter, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What are we talking about? We're talking about the power of the Word of God, those promises of the Word of God. That's where we see how Jesus operated. He'd say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does that look like in real life as you're dealing with fear? It is written, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind, where you're declaring the promises of God. That's unleashing the power of those weapons. And you begin to experience that power. And those are the things, that's like David came at him in the name of the Lord. These are not natural. They're spiritual. And so there is a spiritual strength, a spiritual appreciation that you get as you begin to unleash them. On a Sunday morning, you can preach the practicalities of it. You can preach the principles of it. But it's when you get in your own quiet place, and I don't care if you've heard it 1,000 times, you and your own spirit say, no, that's it. Enough, no more. It is written. It will work. It'll work 1,000 years from now. It is written. Because there is authority in that word. Absolutely. And it's just swinging the sword. It's absolutely swinging it, doing it, unleashing it. Yeah, I know that. I've got that. Yeah, you got the bullet in your gun. You got to pull the trigger. You got to speak it. You got to do it. At some point, you're going to have to sling that stone. David wasn't just pious with his theology and defeated Goliath with his great theology of the name of Jesus. No. He ran after him. And he slung physical stones by faith in his God. And you are going to speak words out of your mouth physically by faith in your God. This can't be missed. It's not enough to know. It has to be unleashed. It has to be done. There is a believing in the power. Finally, Jesus said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. There is a believing, there is a declaring. You know, we were talking this morning about the power of the blood. The power of the blood. To believe that that blood really does have the power to overcome what I'm doing. You know, you could come in here, and you know, most of you who came in here this morning, if I would have given you a little theology test, do you believe the power of the blood is greater than your sin? You would have probably checked true and got it right. But there's decision that you make. It is greater, and I'm not going to let this thing bother me, and I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to receive the conscience-cleansing power of the blood and walk free. What did you do? You shot your gun. You unleashed what you already knew theologically, and you chose to believe it. Praise God, you were made free. We're talking about facing Goliaths. Facing Goliaths. Overcoming Goliaths. They are overcomable. Strongholds are demolishable. They can be broken. You can be free from all these different things in these different areas of life. And I just sense in my spirit just to lift up this message tonight, because when you're running, if you've run in a race, you know what it's like to run with ankle weights. Have you ever run with ankle weights? And you know, it's uncomfortable, it's heavy, it's work. But you know, if that's all you do, you just kind of get used to it. But have you ever taken those ankle weights off? And notice how amazing, how much swifter you can run without the ankle weights on. God wants to break some ankle weights off. He wants you to be able to run this race without that. To be free. This is not, you know, this is hope. This is to realize that this is God's will for you, to be absolutely free from all those different things. You know, we were cleaning out our garage yesterday, and we got a great, one of the reasons that the Lord sent the Larson family to Door of Life was so Peter Larson could tell me the virtues of a dumpster. And I was so thankful. I mean, even when he's telling me, I could sense the witness. Yes, yes, yes. But man, then I got one. And you talk about like casting your cares in the Lord. I mean, it's like, it's so cool. You got this big thing, and no matter what it is, if you got a bag, you got a thing, you just throw it in there, it's gone. So, you know, I've been doing these different areas, and yesterday was garage day. And so I looked at the garage, and I'm in that mode. I'm ready to just dump the whole garage in there. You know, I'm in real pare down mode. So I brought Julie out there, and I said, here's the deal. She got a little pink post-its. I said, I'm the death angel. And unless you apply a post-it to that thing, I will not pass over it. It will go in the dumpster. So she immediately put one on our new van and on her own forehead. So she saw that look in my eye, but you know, when I was kind of looking at that and just kind of, you know, doing that and kind of looking, does it have a sticker? Doesn't it have a sticker? You know, you're just looking for stickers. You know, it had nothing to do with what I thought of it or the value of it, different things like that. You're just looking at it. And you realize that, you know, the reason why something survived from getting thrown into that dumpster was the favor of the Post-it, the favor of that sticker. And you realize that your whole life, you're walking and living in the favor of God. Man, it's not that I'm just saved by grace through faith. I mean, thank God for it. I'll be worshiping God through all eternity because of that. But everything that I do on here on earth is by grace through faith. I can defeat Goliath by grace through faith. It's not that Goliath's really striving. If I'm striving because that's a big Goliath, I'm not doing it right. Goliath's going to go down the same way the lion and the bear did. I got faith. There's a Post-it on me. That's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's a Post-it on me. That's the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. There's a Post-it on me of the greater one. And he's greater than he that's in this world, and he's greater than that Goliath. And I begin to see it. It's favor. It's grace. And I'm walking in it. It doesn't make you proud. It makes you humble. And you receive. This is really true. It's true. We were talking a few weeks ago about having a relationship with the Word of God. I've said the Bible's the Word of God for years, but I'll tell you what, the thing that you keep coming back to as your life bumps up against the word, you keep going, wow, this word really is true. It really is true. It really is true. And in the face of whatever Goliath you might be dealing, this word really is true. You can take it. You can use it. You can face that Goliath, face that roaring lion. Goliath is common. We don't have to run away. And again, why is this important? Because we can figure out in our own Christian ways, a way to maintain our Christian walk and keep these Goliaths in our life. That's the nature of the flesh. We figure out little workarounds for stuff like things. And God is just saying this morning, I want you free. I want you free from that. I want you to turn and face that Goliath. Weapons, they're uncommon. You have the power and the weapon. That's what matters. The weapons have the power to destroy those and to demolish those strongholds. And like David, you do that math, lion, bear, Goliath. You've got some lions, you've got some bears. You've experienced the power of God already. You've experienced some freedom, you've experienced some victories. And God is saying, lion, bear, Goliath. He's saying that to all of us this morning. Why? He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And it's not just about you getting rid of the Goliath so you can be free from the Goliath. It's about getting you free from the Goliath so you can minister the race that God has before you. You know, there are people that you could reach without that Goliath being in the way, being free from distracting and servicing that Goliath. And all of a sudden, your eyes and your mind and your heart is open to things that God wants you to do. And you realize that God doesn't want you free from that just so you can say, I don't do that anymore. Big deal. He wants you free from that thing so you can do what he's ordained you to walk in. And that's when life gets good, and it's when it's fulfilling. And so again, this isn't the old paradigm of shame and get free from sin for the sake of, no, it's getting free so you can do what God has called you to do. Finally, unleash your weapons, walk in the Spirit, prayer, the written word, the spoken word. Man, I wish I could tell you that I got some new little glitchy thing that nobody's ever heard before. And if you do this thing or pull this button or take this pill, that it's all going to work. Let me tell you something about every diet plan out there that has ever successfully worked. The common denominator is anybody who's really been working it has had discipline in every one of them. You can make anyone work if you'll have a true discipline. The Word of God and spiritual things are that way too. Sorry. When you sow to the Spirit, you will love the Spirit, reap life. There's a discipline side to spiritual stuff. And the Spirit of God will set you free. There's liberty, but there is a discipline side where you walk and you sow to the Spirit and you reap life. Praise God. And you don't have to be intimidated by any Goliath that's out there. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray this morning just that second sermon that's going on inside of hearts this morning would hear hope that you didn't come, Jesus, to give us a coping mechanism, to live under the dominion of Goliaths while we're down here, but that the weapons of our warfare are powerful through you to demolish every Goliath, every stronghold. Father God, I just pray for fresh hope this morning, fresh invigoration to talk back to those Goliaths, to speak back in the face of those Goliaths, and to tell those Goliaths, it is written, and I will take your head from you, and I will bring you down in the name of the Lord, that Israel will learn, that I will learn, that it truly is not by might or by power, but it is by your Spirit, whether it's a lion, whether it's a bear, whether it's Goliath. Help me, Father, to not categorize and give special privilege to this thing, but to simply lay it aside in the name of the Lord. Every weight and every sin, nothing gets a pass. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Nothing left. Father God, I pray that. Minister, encourage, I pray. Oh, hallelujah. Hope in the name of Jesus to see freedom. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you have set me free by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross, by the power of your name, by the power of your word, by the power of your love, by the power of the new creation. I've been raised far above all powers and principalities, all Goliaths, and been made to sit with you in heavenly places. I take my place with you far above all those things. I'm looking down at them. Israel learned something. I've learned something. My God delivers me, not with natural carnal weapons, not with my reasonings, but with the Word of God. When I choose to think like the Word says, then I'm made free. I set my mind on your Word, on your ways, and I'm made free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as we were just praying that, I just got a little vision of something. Now, you got to, this kind of dates me, but in the olden days, we had LP records, okay? 33s, 45s. And a Goliath is a lot like a skip on a record. And I don't care how long you listen, it's just going to skip, 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 skip. And at some point, what you had to do to get past the skip is you physically had to pick up the needle and move it ahead to get to the rest of the song. And that's like what these Goliaths and strongholds are. You can just skip, skip, skip to your loo all the rest of your life. At some point, you got to pick up the needle and set it down and say, no, I'm free in Jesus' name. That too is going down. Jesus, you did everything for me. Goliath's going down. You gave me authority. You paid the price. Man, your love for Jesus motivates you to get free. Yeah, this isn't holier than thou stuff. This is laying aside the weights and the sins for the race that is set before you. There's a race. There's things you want to do for God, and this is slowing you down. That's your impetus. That's your motivation. You stop that skip. You're going forward. Okay, Lord, here we go. No more skipping. I'm moving the needle. I'm setting my mind on the authority that you've given me. And I'm going for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.